Again, good morning. If you would take a copy of God's Word, if you have one, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We are continuing our Sunday morning study on this New Testament letter to many believers, encouraging them to keep the faith as they journey all the way to the promised land of heaven. And that truth applies to us. And this morning, we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll look at the first three verses, talking about growing up into salvation, or grow up into salvation. We're talking primarily about salvation today, but before you check out mentally and say, I've already done that, there's a great truth we will find today in these first three verses about the continuing beauty of the gospel, as Pastor Aaron mentioned. So let's get to the text, 1 Peter chapter 2. We want to start in verse number 1. So, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This comes upon the heels of chapter 1 in the encouragement to be holy as God is holy. And that's where we find ourselves talking of salvation, not just as a one-time event, but a continuous experience. And I want to describe salvation for you in these terms, according to the text. It's the entrance to God. It's the pathway of God. And salvation is ultimately our final destination with God. That's the way salvation biblically, and with this text particularly, salvation is explained in those terms, about growing up into salvation. So it's the pathway, it's the entrance, and it's also the destination. And let me give you the pastoral 3 points, okay? Let me explain it in 3 points. We got 3 verses, 1 per point. Let's talk about growth in salvation. So first, based on verse number 1, let's talk about putting aside what stunts our growth. You say, Pastor, this sounds like a junior high health class. It is not. Putting aside what stunts our growth. Peter reminds us from chapter 1 that we've been born again. This is for believers. This is for the follower of God. We are born again based upon God through His Word. That's how we become believers. He describes salvation really as stages of growth. So it's not just that you are born again and then you're done with salvation. It's really, salvation is really a process. One of the problems believers have is they don't continue to grow in their salvation. They don't continue to grow as a believer. Now, stunting your growth, it means you don't grow as you should. Impaired development, your growth statistics are hindered in some fashion. Let me ask the expert on this. So I asked Google about stunting your growth. And here are some common questions just about stunting your growth. So if you ever had these questions, let me help you and answer those. People ask Google, will caffeine stunt my growth? We have a coffee bar to prove that is not true. People asked, will gymnastics stunt my growth? Will nicotine stunt my growth? Will malnutrition stunt my growth? Now, malnutrition is one of the great reasons people's growth is hindered. When I was dating now my wife in college, I would go to her home church and spend time with her family and worship at that church. And I noticed a small family, really a husband and wife, and then 3 small boys. Now, and not just because of age, but they just did not pass the visual test. They just did, something was not right. And so I asked my wife, my girlfriend, fiance at the time, I said, what's going on with these three little guys? That something's not right. And she said, well, they've been adopted into this family, his husband and wife adopted them, because they were abandoned. And the oldest of the siblings, who was very young at the time, was helping feed his younger brothers. He was pulling trash out, and whatever they could find, they would eat. And so for a season of life for them, they were extremely malnourished. And so because of their malnourishment or malnutrition, they did not grow as they ought to, and they were smaller in size or in stature because they did not receive what they needed. That happens to Christians, to us. Let me give you five things that will stunt your growth. It's in verse 1. Peter warns us about these five elements that will make you stop growing as a believer. The first is malice, which is trouble or evil. The second is deceit, which is subtlety or craftiness. The Greek depiction of this is setting up a decoy. The third is hypocrisy. It's saying one thing and then doing another. The fourth is jealousy, which means wanting something else unsecured or undeserved. The fifth is slander, which means speaking evil of someone. Now, these five things Peter mentions in this verse 1 are five things that will stunt your growth as a believer. You say, why did he mention these five things? What's the unifying principle on these five things? Sometimes it's with others, sometimes it's with God. Let me give you the principles for these. All of these, all five, are unnecessary for you. You don't need these. Not only that, secondly, they're not beneficial. These five things will never benefit you in your spiritual walk. Even unbelievers despise these five things. They may employ them at some time, but even they, people that don't follow God and His moral code, even unbelievers hate this stuff. They're not necessary, they're not beneficial, but here's what happens if you use them or if you possess them. They will destroy your fellowship in the church. We're talking about relationships with each other. This will hurt you in relationships. This will hurt you in church life. It'll destroy fellowship. And also, it will cause harm to you and others. If you have these, you will cause harm to yourself, or you will cause harm to other people. These will stunt your growth, spiritually speaking. So you say, Pastor, what should we do? I'm glad you asked. Peter tells us. He says, put away. Sometimes the translation says cast aside, to push aside. Here's what it means. Get it away from you and leave it. Throw it away and never pick it back up. Probably one of my wife's favorite vacations is to go to the beach. What a day to talk about the beach when we had a frost this morning, isn't it? We're almost to spring, almost through with the pollen, and then it's like winter comes back. So let's talk about the beach. At the beach, what we like to do, because the price is right, we like to walk and collect seashells. Now, we like to walk in the mornings or in the evening when it's cooler, and so we'll pick up seashells. Sometimes we have a bucket, sometimes we don't. And as we look at what we collect, we think, hey, this one's not as good as the others, so here's what we do. We just throw it back. And we're like, well, you don't care about that one. Or if you think we're about to find a really good one, and then when you pick it up, it's not perfect. You're like, we don't need that. And then right before you go home, you're packing your vehicle, and you think, why do we have all these shells we don't need? Has anyone else felt like that? Let's just dump it out. Now, we're only going to keep the best, the things that we really want, the things that add to our hundreds of shells already in our home and our possession. And so here's what we do. We throw out the ones we don't need, and we never regret it. We just leave it at the beach, leave it in the Gulf Coast of Florida. We don't care, we leave it. So here's what you do with these five things that will stunt your growth. Throw it away and leave it. Because you don't need it. It's not beneficial. It will cause disfellowship. It will cause harm to you and others. So here's what you do. Put away. Put aside. Cast away. Cast aside. Throw it away. Everything that will hinder you in your spiritual walk, cast it aside. Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. So putting aside what stunts our growth, the second principle regarding salvation is longing for what helps us grow. Longing for what helps us to grow. Peter is describing this pathway in salvation, describes us as infants. I'm not a medical doctor, but I know this. Infants need milk. When a child is born, they need nutrients. They need some preservation of life. What they need is milk. When my wife and I were in Memphis, we had our first child, Abram, in 2009, and we didn't know anything about raising or caring for children. Yet here he is today. He's still alive. We made it. Now, just so you know, we had all three of our kids were big babies. Even our last one, Andrew, born in 2009. Excuse me, that's Abram 2009. 14 for Andrew. I'm getting these numbers mixed up. But even the doctor, as we were getting closer and closer to birth with our youngest, they said, well, he's a little baby. My wife said, no, he's not. And so when Andrew was born, he was 9 pounds, 11 ounces. Medical doctors don't know everything. Abram was a mere 8 pounds, 8 ounces. He was little. Man, he was tiny. And we didn't know a lot. And so we would give our son a bottle, and he would cry. And we're like, why is this? We knew how to burp him. We knew these things. The problem was, that boy was hungry. He wanted more milk because he was growing. It got to the stage, we knew he needed more milk, and so my wife would give him a bottle and say, you better get the other bottle ready. Because like he would finish one and just like look at us like, you know that's not enough. Like half man, half amazing. And then even when we transitioned to semi-solid food, my wife would be feeding him oatmeal or rice cereal, and he would just be gulping it down, just look at her like, you know. And she's like, you better get another bowl ready. And he needed more and more and more. He needed his own nutrients. That used to be describing us. In our Christian walk, we wanted more and more and more. We can't get enough of the word. We want more of salvation. We want more of the gospel. It's not just the entrance, it's the pathway. And it's necessary and beneficial. Here's the difference between verse 1 and verse 2. The things mentioned in verse 1 are not necessary or not beneficial, but that pure spiritual milk of the word is necessary and beneficial, and we need the word of God for salvation continually. Not just a one and done. Every week, we have to have the word. Every day, we got to have the word. So here's how the milk is described in the text. Pure spiritual milk. This is how you enter into salvation. It's how you continue into salvation. And when we stand before God, that's how we end our salvation. Now, this passage is not about spiritual maturity like 1 Corinthians or Hebrews. Talking about, well, you had milk, but you really need to go to solid food. That's a different subject matter. Same term, different subject. You need milk to grow. You need nutrients. You need vitamins. As a believer, you need the Word for your salvation. The continuous experience of your salvation. Why? Because you continue to grow. Grow up into salvation. That's why we always ask ourselves, how is the Word being preached? How are we focusing on the Word through music? How do we stand in regard to the Word? Scripture tells us there is an admonition for those who are hungry. That word here in the text, verse 2, those who long for, those who crave, those who desire or earnestly desire. Down in the South, they say, I have a hankering. I long for this. I want that. Jesus tells about that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. A few years ago, I heard an account from missionaries of a medical doctor who went to Africa. He was doing an autopsy on a young African child. They examined the abdomen and the stomach of this young child. They found stones and roots. Driven by hunger, but yet never fulfilled. I wish I had that type of hunger. I wish we had that type of hunger. The Scripture tells us that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for His righteousness, because they will be filled. That we desire that pure spiritual milk. We long to grow and find fulfillment. We are putting aside what stunts our growth. We're longing for what helps us to grow. Number 3, found in verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Point number 3 about describing salvation is questioning our sense of taste. Now, Peter does not explicitly phrase this as a question textually, but it is rhetorical. It's almost as if he's presenting a question. He's questioning our sense of taste. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. It's not necessarily a question, but he is presenting a condition, which comes across as a question. Has this person been saved? Have they entered into salvation through God's word, through the death of his son? And really the question, and we read it in the first of the service, we sang it just a moment ago, have we really tasted that the Lord is good? Now, to an unbeliever, that makes no sense. But to us, the followers of Yahweh God, it makes perfect sense. Oh, we have tasted that the Lord is good. Not that we entered into this, but we're on this pathway. And ultimately, our salvation will be fulfilled as we stand before Jesus Christ. Sometimes our tastes change. Sometimes we question, is this valid? This last week, Stephen had to go do a wedding in Central Arkansas, and he drove by the restaurant he used to work at in high school, and he took a picture of it. And it's an abandoned building, and there's a food truck in the parking lot. If that says anything about the quality of restaurant I worked at this restaurant, sometimes in any business you hear complaints. And they would not complain about the service that I gave. It was always the quality of food. They said, hey, this doesn't taste right. This tastes off. And sometimes They would check an ingredient. Well, they realized something was off. There was one particular weekend I can remember someone complaining about everything they had on their plate. They complained to the manager. They complained to me. I'm like, hey, I just carved the roast beef. I didn't cook it. And the owner went and talked to some of the cooks and said, hey, is something going on in the kitchen? They said, no, we've done everything the same. And Dave, the manager, said, manager/owner, he said, oh, it's just a taster. Everything doesn't taste right to them. Nothing tastes as it should. Sometimes our tastes change. Sometimes the things we want change. The things we like or desire change. This happened to me not long after marriage. My wife and I had to go get groceries, and we had a list, one of which was peanut butter. I said, hey, I can get that. I'm going to get the crunchy, off-brand peanut butter. She said, no, you will not. I said, hold up, that's what we eat. She said, a new day has dawned. You're getting creamy, and the brand will be Peter Pan. That brought back memories from yesterday, getting peanut butter. I said, well, what's wrong with the off-brand? She said, it doesn't taste good enough. I said, okay. And so another time, my wife believed that I could get groceries by myself. She said, we need graham crackers. I said, gotcha. So what do I buy? Off-brand. And she said, she gave me an opportunity. She said, I will try these. She tried them, and she said, these taste like cardboard. Name brand. I remember, you know, we were busy at the time. I was a student pastor. I was driving about an hour to where we were while she finished her bachelor's degree at Wachita Baptist. And so we got frozen pizzas, and I bought the wrong ones. I bought Tony's. She said, we buy Red Baron in this house. Why? Because of taste. And then I was like, okay, now I can see why, because it's better. Some things taste better than others. Now, some things cost more than others. I get it. But the taste. No one goes to a restaurant and says, oh, I really recommend this dish or number three on the menu because it's mediocre. No one ever says that. No one says, go to the steakhouse and get this steak because it's bland. No one says those things. They recommend things based upon taste. They say, go try this because the taste. To the unbeliever in the room or those listening online, taste and see that the Lord is good. Try it out. And there's no cost to you. There's a terrible cost to our Savior, but no cost to you. To the believer who's already been saved, you've made that decision of faith. Have your tastes changed? Are you still growing up into salvation? Because that word grow up into salvation does not mean become physically large. What it really means is reaching your full capability, like the idea of a seed growing into a plant to present fruit, to finding itself, to finding fulfillment. To you believers, to you followers of God, are you still walking and growing into salvation? Maybe you've never trusted in Christ. Let me tell you how to do that. Salvation is needed, is provided, and you can accept it. The scripture says in Romans 3, there is none righteous. As is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of that glory. We've all broken God's holy law. We've all fallen short, no matter how hard we tried, no matter what we did. We fail. But here's the beauty of the gospel. It's free. In John chapter 3, salvation provided in the person of Jesus Christ. That God the Son came and surrendered himself for us, that we may have eternal life. It's the promise of God. So salvation is needed and is provided. Here's all you have to do. Accept it. Accept it. It's a free gift. All you got to do is receive it. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the promise of God says you will be saved. And also, the qualification on that, whosoever believes in him. If you need to trust in Christ today by way of faith and repentance, you can do that. Maybe there's other decisions you've put off. Maybe there's a prayer you haven't prayed yet. Maybe there's something you haven't done in your life that you're just waiting. Do it today. Why wait? Maybe to the believer in the room, you've got off track in your Christian walk. Jesus says, come back to his table. Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. Come back today. Come back to the table and fellowship with God today. If I can help you, if our staff or other men can pray for you, we have a moment just ahead of us. We want to pray for you, pray over you, pray with you, whatever it is. If you got questions about the Christian faith, or if you want to stick around just after service and just visit for a few moments, whatever it is, let's grow up in our salvation. Father, we ask for your blessings because of the word. Father, may we long to grow in our salvation. May we put aside, cast away all things that hinder us, that stunt our growth. Father, may we grow up in our salvation. May we grow up into salvation. May we experience the fullness of God. Father, may our hunger and thirst be filled as we worship and devote ourselves to you. Father, for those who are hurting, those who have not walked as they should, Father, may they cry out for forgiveness and just come back to the table of the Father. Father, for those who hunger and thirst for your righteousness, you say they will be filled. Father, would you satisfy our yearning, our craving for the pure spiritual milk of the Word? And Father, for the taste, for the longing, the fulfillment of being with you, may we find solace in that. Father, bless the hearts of the hearers. Lord, may they receive encouragement today. Would you give them a fresh wind from your Spirit? Father, bless our church as we love you and love others. May we change the world. We pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.